Insurance, an independent, full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, is celebrating over 55 years, insuring East Tennesseans from auto, home, life, and so much more. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, they can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Criticisms, failures, and severing of ties. Is Israel on the ropes because President Donald Trump is telling lies? Did Germany find a backbone? Will the U.S. have peace with Iran? Pestilence and plagues are spreading, but is that just part of the plan? Has religious freedom been removed through Canada's Bill C-9? The only thing we know for sure is these are the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, June 26th, 2026. You can listen or watch any of our episodes again. You can share them with your skeptical friend. I'm sure you've got one of those. You can read the articles we talk about, or you can ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net or grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now here's someone who's old enough to do anything he wants, but he's too tired to do it. And that's Pastor Mark, who struggles to stay healthy because exercise and extra fries sound so much alike.
That's good. That's good.
And it's true,
yeah,
right?
It is true. It is true.
You think somebody said have some extra fries and they're like, have some exercise.
Yes,
and
yes, yes. Anyway. And I get it. And yeah. That's very entertaining.
Okay, I know. But Pastor Mark's a little bit distracted.
I am distracted because
before we get to our articles,
yes,
he's got a special guest that he wants to introduce.
I do. We normally plan on talking about the government thing with aliens today, but we did have a special guest from the government come in. Andromeda came to be with us from... to speak about, we've been speaking to him before the broadcast about some of the things that are happening. He really doesn't believe. He says aliens aren't real. And we've just been talking to him. For those of you that are watching at home, you can see Andromeda, but you can't see him from here. But you can kind of picture what he looks like, and maybe you can tell your friends. Well, maybe sometime in the future, Andromeda,
yes,
we'll have you come back, and we'll talk about, you know, if there's some way we can include something in the show. Thank you. All right, so good. So thank you, Andromeda. We're going to let you go now. You can go on over and just... have a seat right over there. So.
I think Andromeda needs to come back for some commentary, some op-eds on some of these stories later.
Yes, we can do. Maybe we can use him. Maybe we'll have some things that he can comment on. We'll see how that goes.
I'm sure we will not. We're not short of those things. Yes. All right. Let's go to Israel. Yeah, for a couple of articles this week, our first one comes from allisraelnews.com. This is dated June 15th, 2026. Israeli reactions to the Iran deal, coalition and opposition members are criticized failure to protect Israel's security needs.
Yeah, this is huge. You know, when it comes to what's going on with Iran and what the president is doing, it's like he's making plans for the nation of Israel. He's making agreements in the name of the nation of Israel, which he can't do. You can't go and make agreements with another nation about what you want to do. And the president, again, he's saying, okay, if we do this and they can't do that, well, no, it didn't work that way. So, and I'm going to read the article, but this is the key here. This is going to cause some issues between America and Israel, and it may fall apart because the Iran thing may fall apart, which we'll get to more in the show today, too. But it says, while the agreement between the U.S. and Iran has been welcomed by many around the world, it's been poorly received in Israel. Details of the agreement have not yet been officially released, with the U.S. and Iran making contradictory statements about its terms. However, one part of the agreement is reportedly a clause stating that Lebanon is to be considered as part of a permanent ceasefire agreement, which would appear to restrict Israeli freedom of operation against Hezbollah. Now, let me comment this before I go on or comment. What it's saying is, if that's the case, it's saying, we're making a deal for you, Israel, that even if Hezbollah keeps attacking you, you can't fire back. That's not going to fly.
No.
You cannot tell another nation that if they're being attacked by another nation, they can't defend themselves. And the agreement appears to be saying that. And if then, of course, if that is in the agreement and we're yet to get everything fully out on that, Israel's going to have to say, I'm sorry, Mr. President, we can't do that. And with President Trump and the fact he wants to make things happen his way and the way he is, it could get ugly between America and Israel, which is always a bad thing because then that reflects on how God deals with America. But again, it goes on. It says, in announcing the achievement of a peace deal between the two countries, Pakistani Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif claimed both sides had declared an immediate and permanent termination of military operations on all fronts, including Lebanon. The statement provoked sharp reactions from Israel politicians and leaders across the political spectrum, because here's the deal. It hadn't stopped. Israel's still striking because the terrorists are still striking them, and they're still taking out the bad guys.
Right.
Coalition members, while not openly criticizing U.S. President Donald Trump, expressed their opposition to apparent flaws in the agreement. National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir said that the U.S. agreement is not binding on Israel. I agree with him, and I quote, Trump's agreement does not bind us, Gvir said. Israel is not subject to the United States, and we are an independent and sovereign nation. Now, and again, that'll make Trump mad, but that's the truth. And he goes on, every time we succumb to international pressure at the expense of the Israeli security, we paid a blood price with interest, Gvir continued. We emphasize we love the USA and are grateful to President Trump, he said, in an apparent attempt to soften his statements. And yet, he said, the state of Israel is not a banana republic. Prime Minister Netanyahu and I are leading a clear policy that states, the IDF will remain in the security zones in Lebanon, Syria, and Gaza indefinitely in order to defend the border of the Israeli communities from there against jihadist elements. They have to do this, Greg. You've been there. You've seen. They're literally right there next door to them. If they don't keep a barrier zone, they're just killing them freely.
Yeah.
He says the area to be cleared of local residents and all terrorist infrastructure above and below ground will be cleared, including the houses and contact villages that served as terrorist outposts will be destroyed. He said, Katz continued, calling such actions a lesson learned from October 7th. Former Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, who is the chairman of the New Together Party, called the deal a dangerous turn for Israel's security that only a new leadership can fix, where he's trying to get back in power. So either way, here's the bottom line. Look, I think I've said it. They're trying to tell Israel they can't defend themselves if they get attacked in order to get a deal with Iran. Not going to happen. See, Hezbollah is Iran. Right. They're Iran in Lebanon. So Iran in Lebanon is called Hezbollah. So they're attacking Israel. So they say, well, that's not us. That's those guys in Lebanon. No, it is you. And now you're going to be able to continue to attack Israel while you maybe don't attack from Iran, saying somehow you're keeping your agreement. No, they're going to defend themselves. They must defend themselves. And I'm watching here. There's a rift that's beginning to happen between the president and Israel, although he's been a great supporter. And the problem is that we know in the last days, all nations will turn against Israel. So it doesn't surprise me to see this kind of thing and to know the spiritual battles raging in that area. But the president needs to stand firm with the nation of Israel and not let Iran pull this kind of nonsense. If he was living there in northern Israel and they were bombing his family, I guarantee you he wouldn't be going along with it. So No, Israel cannot capitulate.
And I know we're going to talk about President Trump in another article later. But Pastor Mark, just to get your opinion on something, because we now have a fuller picture of President Trump in terms of his presidency.
Yes.
And when we think of, there are certain places in Scripture that give us types, like the Amalekite Amalekites, for example, are in type sin. And then there's foreshadowings that we have in Scripture that kind of give us an imagery of something that is yet to come.
Right.
Okay. So when we think about the Antichrist and how the Antichrist is going to deal with the world, and specifically how he's going to deal with Israel, in the beginning, he's Israel's friend.
That's right.
He's Israel's savior. He's bringing peace to a very contested piece of real estate,
right,
and that is the Temple Mount.
Right.
But halfway through his presidency, or this peace treaty that he signs, he turns viciously against them. I'm not saying that President Trump's the Antichrist, but yet we've seen such boldness in him in supporting Israel, such as moving the embassy to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv and all these other things that he's done.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, it sounds like the tone is taking a sharp turn.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's a great comment. Again, I wouldn't really call it a type or a picture. I'll add it. There's something there. But it's not really something biblical. Like he's not a picture of the Antichrist.
No.
He's not a picture. Okay, I want to make people clear on that.
Yeah.
However, Greg, I think what's happening is it is a picture, a beginning picture of what it is going to be like. You're exactly right. Not that he is fulfilling or some foreshadow of the Antichrist or whatever, but he is. It's the same spirit that will be pushing the Antichrist to do these things against Israel is the same spirit pushing President Trump. But because he's in a Christian nation surrounded by Christians and he's not the Antichrist, he's not all in on this, but it's the spirit of Satan working, trying to get him to hate Israel, trying to get him to turn on Israel, the same way that he's going to do with the Antichrist. He will be successful with the Antichrist. So we can't use any like theological parallels to the Bible and President Trump other than to say it is a picture to us in our generation.
At least in his actions and behavior.
Of the same type of thing that the Antichrist will do in much greater measure. He will start out being Israel's friend.
Yeah.
He will start out being Christian's friend, and then he's going to turn on him. Now, what's interesting is, I believe if Israel agitates the president enough and he begins to turn on him, he also will begin to turn on the Christians a little bit. And here's why. I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm saying if Israel agitates him enough, I can see a little bit of agitation toward the Christian community. And this is the reason. Because the Christians are going to stand up and defend Israel. And if Israel's giving him a hard time and he always wants to be right and prove that he's right and do all the things to show everybody else is a loser and he's the winner, and then there's a group of Christians saying, look, we stand with Israel, then he's going to say, well, then they're losers too. So I can see this kind of, he kind of lumps everybody together that's against him into that kind of loser category. So I do think that there is a danger here. The saving grace at this point is Iran is so unreasonable, they're already breaking the agreement. I mean, they sent four drones here in just the last day or two. They sent four drones attacking ships. One actually hit a Korean ship and blew up on the hull of it there in the Strait of Hormuz. They were able to keep going. The America shot the other four down. And the president came out today and said, you have officially broken the ceasefire. Now, what he's going to do with that, I don't know. But the point is, I think you're going to see so much just ridiculous behavior by the enemy through Iran that it'll take the emphasis off of Israel, where it's not going to escalate. But I think, my concern would be that it could escalate because Israel, as we just read, they're going to defend themselves. And if the president's trying to make them not defend themselves, and they defend themselves, and he thinks it's messing up the midterms or his presidency or his legacy or what he wants to see done, and then the Christians start backing that up, he could turn on both a little bit. So I'm not saying the president's going to turn on Israel or turn on Christians. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we may not be as favorable of a place if Israel does what it is they have to do to stop Iran. He's not going to like that. And then it will truly take its fullness in its full picture when the Antichrist comes on the scene. So it is kind of like a foreshadow of a kind.
Okay. All right. Our next article comes from allisraelnews.com, dated June 20th. Israel severs ties with the European Union's foreign policy chief over an alleged, quote unquote, apartheid remarks.
Yeah. Again, this whole thing, even before we get into it, Greg, I'm going to do this real quick.
Okay.
Apartheid. I'm going to look the definition of, I want to give the official definition of apartheid because it is so ridiculous.
That would be good.
Here's the definition. Ready? I just looked this up here online. An official policy of racial segregation formally practiced, involving political, legal, economic, and discrimination.
So how is Israel doing that?
It is such a lie. I've been to Israel 16 times. I've got many friends in Israel. Apartheid, they are the most inclusive nation. Look, the Arabs and the Jews work side by side. Nobody is discriminated against. Here's what Satan does. The terrorists come in and blow up their cafes and attack them. So they set up borders to stop them at certain places from coming in, and they put them through these filters so they don't blow up them and their children and their women. And then Satan, through these people who are uneducated and totally led by the enemy, they say, look, Israel's discriminating. They're separating them out because they're Arab. They're apartheid. It's called protecting your women and children and guarding yourself from terrorists. People have no clue what they're saying. Israel is not at all this way. The Jews are not at all this way. It is the exact opposite of apartheid, and I've been there 16 times and seen it. So that is just a big lie.
Yes.
Now, you were going to make a comment.
No, I was just going to say, can we go to a Muslim country and find Jews with the right to work? And the Muslim government supporting the Jews' right to work the way Israel does?
If you go to Israel and you're an Arab or any other group, as long as you don't blow people up,
right,
you are free to live a life there and work and have a family and everything. You go to one of those countries and try to be a Jew, something, you're shut down.
But not only that, Pastor Mark, these Arabs that are living in, and I'm not going to say all of them, but I would say a lot of them that work there consistently, they're not only working there, but they're citizens of Israel.
Yes, that's
they're
right.
Israeli citizens.
That's right. And it's not just Arabs, it's what they call the Palestinians.
Yes.
Again, remember, there's different people groups. The actual Arabs are the direct descendants of Abraham. But there's the others there, the people that have just lived there over the centuries. They call them the Palestinians. Even the Jews were called that until 1948. So yes, they are part of the nation. They're part of the people. They're part of the citizenry. So to try to make some accusation about apartheid is not only foolish and ignorant, it is angering because I've seen it. It's a lie. But anyway, here's the article. A foreign minister, Gideon Sa'ar, announced on Thursday that Israel severing ties with the EU foreign policy chief Kaja Kallas after she reportedly compared Israeli policies in Gaza and Judea and Samaria to apartheid-era South Africa. Sa'ar condemned the comparison in a post on X, saying Kallas has for some time now been acting obsessively and with blatant unfairness toward the state of Israel. He added that, to date, no denial, clarification, or response has been issued by her regarding this severe statement. And I quote, therefore, I have no choice but to sever all contact with Ms. Kallas, was who made her callous remarks, I added that in, until she retracts the blood libel she directed at the world's only Jewish state, which is also the only democracy in the Middle East. Kallas responded with a reply on X, dialogue is the foundation of diplomacy, especially when differences arise. The EU is always committed to a constructive relationship with Israel. That's nonsense. She's just trying to cover her tracks. She emphasized that the EU remains committed to a two-state solution, which is against God's word, and she's against the illegal settlements in Judea and Samaria. They're not illegal because God gave them the land, which means it belongs to the Jews. It is legal in heaven, and therefore it is legal on earth. I'll go on. It says, to the best of my knowledge, the statements attributed to you regarding apartheid do not reflect the position of the European Union. He added, the matter is simple. If you indeed make these vile and defamatory statements, stand behind them. If you do not make them, deny it. Unless this matter is cleared up, my decision will remain unchanged. We're severing our ties. So good for him. She needs to repent, basically, and turn from that. But Greg, let me make a comment because I'll forget it if I don't before we go on. It has nothing to do with our articles today. But you talked about what it would be like. What everybody can go to Israel and live the way they want.
Yes.
You go to those nations around them, you cannot live the way you want. So if anybody's apartheid, it's them. And they try to put that back on Israel. Reminds me of Elijah and Ahab. Remember, you troubler of Israel? No, you're the troubler of Israel.
Yeah.
Well, get this. I was thinking about today, all these people that hate America right now, and there's a big part of the liberal party that just, they hate America. They say, we need to destroy America, burn it down and rebuild. We hate it or whatever. And I know they wouldn't agree with this, but think about this. Even with them, if we ask them this question, if we just took America off the planet right now, they were gone. Everybody, Republicans, Democrats, liberal, conservative, everybody gone. What would the world be like? Imagine a world right now without America. Now, I know God's in control in heaven. It would be chaos. It would be Islamic. Everybody would be in hijabs. Everybody, women would be oppressed, unable to do anything. You'd be beaten in the streets. You'd have no rights. The only nation that God has given us that has power to do anything about it is pretty much Israel and America right now in our world. But the people that hate America so much, as we come up on our 250th anniversary, you took America out, if you speak to your friends and say, well, they hate America, ask them that. What if we just removed America from the planet, including you and all of us? We're just gone. What do you think the world would be like? And I know they're probably going to say, it would be better. It would be better. Look, let me tell you what it'd be like. It would be oppressive and dark and chaotic and violent, and it would be horrible. God has, and I'm not saying America is the savior of the world. Jesus is the savior of the world.
Amen.
But America has allowed America and Israel and other nations that stand in the right place to keep America from totally going down the tubes. And so everybody that hates this nation, you need to take for granted what these World Cup people are when they come here and realize what a great place it is to live. We take it for granted.
Yeah.
They come here and go, oh my goodness, they've got air conditioning. They're shocked that we have air conditioning because they're trying to save the planet over there. They don't.
Yes.
He said, it's hot outside and cold inside. This is great. It's like, those poor people, they're having to live in oppression already. The fact they get free refills on their drinks, they're astounded. They can't believe it.
I mean, they love Waffle House and Buc-ee's.
Listen, the fact they can just drive anywhere, he said, we can drive anywhere we want without any problems and even buy a shotgun. I mean, they don't have any freedoms. And so, listen, for all of those who hate America, let them know you have no idea how good you've got it. And if America wasn't here, you don't know how, you have no idea how bad it would be.
Amen. All right, our lone article for America this week comes courtesy of Yahoo.com, dated June 16th. I'm going to modify this title. Donald Trump drops a controversial comment regarding Israel.
Yeah, he didn't drop what he said about it. He just dropped it down on, hey, I'm dropping something down.
Yes.
And many of you heard about this. Donald Trump raised eyebrows at the G7 summit after making a bold claim about Israel's survival. The president suggested that the United States and Israel owe much of their current position to actions while he was in office, like another, because of him. He's kind of saying, I'm the one that's saving America and saving Israel. This is scary stuff. Can I imagine the Nebuchadnezzar type
stuff? I was just going to say it's Nebuchadnezzar.
Look at this great thing I built or whatever. It's like, you know, I don't, anyway.
Yeah.
The comments came during a tense moment in international politics as reports of friction between Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu continued to grow amid ongoing conflict in the Middle East. And I quote, Israel's fighting Hezbollah too long and too many people are being killed. That's because of Satan. Anyway, while insisting he still has a great relationship with Netanyahu, he delivered a statement that quickly grabbed the headlines. Here it is, and I quote, without the United States, there'd be no Israel. Trump said, as per clip shared on Fox News, without me, he said, there would be no Israel because no other president was willing to do what I did. The president then doubled down on the remark, adding that Israel would have been blown up a long time ago had it not gotten involved. No, it would not. Israel is not dependent on President Trump. Israel does not survive or exist because of President Trump. Israel survives and exists because God said so. God said, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to preserve you. I'm going to bring you back in the last days. And God says in Psalm 124, were it not for God, Israel would have been destroyed. But because of God, he has preserved them. So here's the bottom line. God is the preserver of Israel, and God is the preserver of America. God is the preserver of everything. But my concern for President Trump is that he doesn't let these things go to his head to somehow think that he's preserving America, that he's preserving Israel, because that's the kind of pride that brings a man down, and God will deal with it. And if he gets brought down by God, it affects our entire nation. Now, I'm not anti our president. Don't get me wrong. Every president that we have in office, Republican or Democrat, I pray for them because the Bible says to pray for those in authority. So my heart is that every president, no matter what side they're on, that they'd be blessed by God and do good by our nation. And I pray for them that that would happen. But when a president starts saying things like that, that is a very arrogant boast that, again, hopefully he will, people around him will say, Mr. President, you're stepping in. I call this stepping into God territory where he doesn't belong. I think about King Uzziah. We talked about it Wednesday night here at Calvary Chapel. But King Uzziah was a great king. The people loved him. He was very successful. There was never a bigger king, greater king. There was never greater weaponry. I'm just kidding. Anyway,
Very similar.
Yeah, he had a great military. He did everything. Just blessed by God, it says, until he was lifted up in his heart. And then, where the Bible says only the priests can go into the holy place or the temple. Kings couldn't go in. He decided, I'm going in. I'm going to go offer incense and I'm going to make an offering like I'm a priest. And God said, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, you're the president, we could say, of Israel, but you're getting into God territory now. You can't do that. There's limits on what you can do. President Trump has now stepped into an area that only God can tread, and that is to take credit for the preservation of the nation of Israel by his authority, his power, and his glory. And you don't challenge his throne. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
So, you know, be praying that he would humble himself and realize his error here. Maybe it's a one-time thing. It's going to blow over. I hope so. I hope it's not a picture of things to come, because if it is, it will not only be the downfall of him as a president, but it will also affect us as a nation.
Yeah.
And so, again, be praying for our president. I love our nation. I love our president. Don't take me wrong when I'm making these statements, but we have to be very careful that no one, I don't care how much authority they have on earth, steps into the realm of only territory that God rules over, and that is the nation of Israel and his preservation of that nation.
That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who's helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news on WIAM-LP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast episode number 421, which is more believable than Elon Musk telling us he only has a modest fortune. And now,
you've got mail.
All right, Pastor Mark, I'm hoping you and Andromeda over there can answer some questions for us.
In case I have any questions, you know, I just felt some outside influence from outside the planet.
Well, actually,
because he could give some actually insight from outside the planet.
This would be a great question for him to participate in.
Let's see what this comes
from Aaron.
All right.
Enjoying Signs of the Times in Maryville, and this is about animals in heaven.
Oh.
So he might have some information on that.
Never been to heaven.
Yes.
Okay, he already said he's never been to heaven.
Oh, okay. Well, he's not going to be able to help us. What do you believe the Bible teaches about animals in eternity? I understand Scripture never explicitly says that our pets go to heaven, but we see animals in Eden before the fall, animals in the Messianic kingdom in Isaiah 11, horses in heavenly scenes in Revelation 19, and creation itself awaiting redemption in Romans 8. Also in Ezekiel, the cherubim have animal-like faces.
Yeah.
Given those passages, is it biblically reasonable to believe that animals will be part of the new earth? And if so, what evidence would support or oppose the idea that God could restore individual animals as well?
Well, a great question, Aaron. And let me say, especially when the Lord comes back in the thousand-year reign, because he'll reign and rule 1,000 years on this earth. Remember, here's the order. This earth will be here for another 1,000 years once the Lord comes back, and then he'll destroy the earth and the heavens and create a new heaven and a new earth. So for a fact, I can tell you, From now, all the way through that 1,000-year reign, there will definitely be animals on the earth. I mean, that's very clear. The earth is going to be restored. There'll be probably dogs, cats. There'll be you know, every animal you can think of that makes it through the Great Tribulation. You know, and who knows? Maybe he would even repopulate for those that didn't make it through the Great Tribulation. May have dinosaurs.
That would be cool.
You may have T-Rexes walking around. You know, and they're going to be your buddies. And
yeah, that would be great.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah,
everything. So dragons, which I believe were real beings. I think that dragons did exist.
Yeah.
I think that was part of the dinosaur realm, if you will. And there's some historical things to back that up, plus biblical, which is more important.
I was going to say maybe people think that that's maybe a picture of Leviathan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
He makes the connection.
Yeah,
there.
He makes the connection.
Either way, during the 1,000-year reign. Also, here's what else we know. In heaven, I think in the spiritual realm, which would indicate probably even in the brand new heaven and new earth after the 1,000-year reign, we do see animals in the sense of at least horses. Horses are there. Again, and we don't have pictures of horses really spoken about in the new heaven and new earth, but we do see horses in the spiritual realm right now, which is different from the earthly realm when the Lord comes back. So you have the earthly realm for 1,000 years. There is a spiritual realm that's non-physical. And so we do see the chariots of fire and the horses that pulled them and all that went with that. So, yes, I do believe there's a definite connection to animals beyond what we know now in the 1,000-year reign. And I would think very likely horses, at least in the new heaven and new earth, if God goes on with his creation the way he's done. Only God knows for sure, but that would be my speculation. But now, as far as our animals, when they die and going in, that's where the question comes in, the controversy. And I just want to say, I think it's really hard to dogmatically nail that down and say for sure either way. And I'll tell you why. There is an indication in Ecclesiastes where he says, where Solomon writing it says, man's soul that ascends to heaven and the animals that fall to earth. And because of that, many theologians say, well, God made a difference there between the soul of man going on to heaven and the animal not going and the animal falling back to earth, even as the man's soul. So there are some that say, yeah, there won't be any of our pets that are there because of that verse. But I will say this. That's the only verse I know of to back that view up. I know the question is, well, how many verses does it take? So I'm not denying the God of Word, the God of Word,
right?
The Word of God. But at the same time, there may be something God hadn't told us. Maybe there's going to be something God's going to do that we don't know about. Maybe he didn't give us all the information. And it wasn't that Solomon said it in such a way saying, man's soul is going up and animals will fall to the ground. He was just making a comment about that being a truth. So I guess I can't really 100% say. I think the indication is that our earthly pets, may not. But for those that really makes very sad, I can't say dogmatically. There could be something we're missing in that whole process.
Okay. All right, Pastor Mark, our next question comes from Dale, enjoying Signs of the Times right here in Knoxville, about Ezekiel 38 and 39. And, of course, this question was submitted back on Friday, June 19th, when we were off. So here we go. The way the war against Iran was going looked like an invasion by Iran, along with other countries mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39, would be set back indefinitely. But now it looks like the door of opportunity for this to happen has miraculously opened. This memorandum of understanding has completely disregarded Israel. It looks like this administration is only looking at economics and the elections coming up. This could pose severe consequences for our nation. What do you guys think? Ezekiel 38 and 39 becoming closer now?
Yeah, no, it's, again, a great comment there, Dale, and great question. Yes and yes, and I want to add some comments to this because we just really don't know. I will say this. Regardless of the deal the president makes with Iran or not, I believe the Iranian invasion could still happen at any time. I don't think because we make a deal, listen, Iran doesn't care about our deals. They don't care. They don't care at all about our deals. Matter of fact, we intercepted, I won't take the time to look it up right now, if I can find it quickly, but we intercepted communications with Iran right after the deal was made. Okay. I do have it right here. I'm going to read it.
Great.
We intercepted communications with Iran right after the deal was made. And this is what their leadership was saying. I'm going to read this to you, okay? This was published by Channel 14 News in Israel. And again, as this was intercepted, here's their comments. It says, we brought President Trump to his knees. We got what we wanted. As usual, the foolish West believes it is getting something in return from us, which, of course, will never happen. Our goal right now is to keep the Americans on a short leash. Any violation, no matter how small, will allow us to threaten the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, and Trump and his people will agree to anything. Trump thinks we will spend the money he is giving us on buying American goods. That will never happen in our lifetime.
I believe that.
Now we need to make the Americans understand that Israel is the bad actor in the Middle East. That is our goal. Do not give up. Do not give up on anything. Continue to fight. So the bottom line is, what they're saying is we just lied to America. We don't care about this thing. We're not going to keep this deal. We're going to do whatever we want to do. So with that basis right there said, I don't think that anything stops the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war from taking place, because Iran at any moment could decide to attack Israel. As a matter of fact, you said maybe it's closer or farther. They may be more emboldened, because right now they sent these four drones that attacked, we talked about, in the Strait of Hormuz today. One of them hitting, a South Korean vessel. And they sent that today. You know why? Because they believe they've got President Trump trapped. They believe he's not going to do anything because he wants oil to flow and the midterms to look good and prices to come down. So in order for his party to look good and him to look good as a president and all this, they believe they can get away with this kind of stuff. So it actually may be a great time to try to attack Israel, to thinking he wouldn't do anything because they're that blinded. But so again, and also, you never know. Things can change overnight. So I think rather than looking at what is happening with the president and Iran and trying to determine when Ezekiel 38 and 39 is, I think we just have to be ready at any moment. I think things could literally change overnight. I'll give you one example. God forbid that one of these assassination attempts is successful. And let's say, for example, they took out he and J.D. Vance at one time or something. Maybe even Rubio. Maybe they're all together and they go, whatever. And there's no strong leadership, right? Boy, would that be a time to move against Israel or what? Because, again, everybody would be off balance. They wouldn't know what to do. America, it says in Ezekiel 30 and 39, nobody's going to help them. That would be the kind. I'm not saying it's going to happen, and God forbid that it does. And I don't think that it will. I do not think that. And we need to be praying that it wouldn't. But I'm saying if something so radical like that happened overnight, they could move against Israel at any moment. So I would just say be watching, be ready. It could happen at any time, and only time will tell. But again, I think a great observation.
Okay. Our next, it's not a question, it's really a commentary on your response of who we are in heaven as far as our genders from our podcast.
Yes.
Dated June 12th. This comes from Karen, who is enjoying Signs of the Times in Green Cove Springs, Florida. She says, I disagree with your statement that just because God, Christ, and the angels are referred in masculine narrative that we all become males in heaven. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Matthew 22:29-30, Jesus says, you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. Pastor Chuck stated, inasmuch as we will not be having children in heaven, we will be as the angels who neither marry nor are given in marriage. Just what will we be like? The Lord has left a few surprises for us, obviously, and we really don't know. Anything that we offer would be sheer speculation, and that's worthless. Jesus remained identifiable as a man after his resurrection. He had a glorified body, but was still recognizably the same person. Luke 24:39, Jesus said, behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. 1 Corinthians 15:42-44, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Paul describes continuity between the body that dies and the body that is raised, even though it is gloriously changed. No scripture does not say if we are male or female, but it does say we will know who we are.
Yeah, no, and great comments, Karen. I want to say, look, I obviously didn't expound enough on this. Let me expound on this now. I do not know for a fact what it's going to be like in heaven, but I'll share with you where my thoughts were and where I came from, where I was. And again, you make some good points, but I will say this. I think the argument about no marriage in heaven doesn't really help you and doesn't really back up your point, because just because the angels don't marry, we know they're male, because every angel that we see them, they all have male names. So you can't really say, well, because the angels don't marry, that means that there's going to be female in heaven, et cetera, because the angels, he said, will be like the angels. Well, if you make the argument we're going to be like the angels, that would back up the fact that we're going to be male. So with that said, let me just back up and restart this, kind of hit a reset here. Look, it may be that there's male and female in heaven. I wasn't emphatically saying I know that that's not going to be the case. It may very well be. And I think the best argument, Karen, that you made is God made them male and female in his image. He made them. Remember, he made them male and female. That's in this world, in this earth. They're still in his image. And so that doesn't mean that somebody that's having gender confusion can say, well, maybe I'm a male, maybe I'm female. No, the Bible clearly says in this realm, you're either male or you're female. So this is the earthly realm made as people. There's male and female. The question is, what's it going to be in heaven? Again, let me restate. It might be that we carry on being male and female in heaven. I can't refute that biblically. There's nothing that says that's what it will be, but I can't refute that. And that may very well be right. So that is a point well taken. I acknowledge that. But let me say, with that said, you can't use the argument about marriage, because again, remember, he says say marriage, that we all he says is we won't marry and we'll be like the angels. Well, the angels, all the angels that we see in scripture are male. So the only theological conclusion you could stand on strongly there is they're male and they won't be married. So that doesn't really speak about the female issue. So I kind of see that as a non-point. It doesn't really hold any weight. But my point was that I was making is that the only example we have is male. That's all we have. When God says he's a male, and when he came to earth, he came as a male. The Bible says that the angels are male, and when the angels come to earth and appear, they only appeared as male. There's not a single female angel mentioned in the Bible. And that kind of thing. So now, does that mean that everybody in heaven is a male? No, I can't say that. So if that's what I implied or what I said, then I want to clarify that. I do not know. I know this. I know in the 1,000-year reign, there's going to be male and female, because the Bible says they'll be having children. So, but then when you get into the new heaven and the new earth, that's where it gets a little bit more complicated. And again, this is to me as a side issue. I don't want to get, you know, cause division or cause something, some big stink. I'm not making some big theological stand here. I'm just saying that the only examples we have in scripture from heaven when it comes to God or angels and their interaction with the earth, when the Lord became a human and the angels became with man, it was always in the male gender. It was never in the female. But that does not mean, I'll reiterate, it does not mean that we will not have female in heaven. We may very well, And when the Bible says to your brother, point, we'll know as we're known. Of course, we're going to know as we're known. That means what the Bible means there, literally in the language, is we're going to recognize everybody immediately. So I'm going to know who everybody was, and everybody's going to know. But the Bible says God will give us all a new name. So I won't be called Mark anymore. My wife won't be called Tracy anymore. So it won't be like male and female names. It'll be a new name, just in heaven, whatever that name is. So even the fact that we're known in heaven doesn't really carry on whether it's male or female. That just kind of says, yeah, we'll be there, and now we're going to have a new name. What will the new name be? It'll probably match whatever we become. The Lord said we will be like him. That doesn't mean there can't be female. Doesn't mean that at all. So maybe I'm rambling at this point, but I just want to say, I hear what you're saying. I agree with that. I don't, some of the arguments you made, I don't really see that they back up your point because of the things I brought up. However, I do acknowledge that I don't know for sure if there's going to be male and female in heaven. There may very well be male and female in heaven. And I know this, we're all going to be like the Lord. And it's going to be a wonderful place to be. And so it doesn't really matter to me either way. But again, I can see how that would matter, especially if you're a female, thinking, hey, I don't want to change from being a female to become a man.
Right.
And I don't think it's going to be some kind of strange gender confusion thing either, no matter what. So I'll leave it at that and just say, look, I don't know that you're going to find any much more when you check your theology books and look things up. I don't know that you're going to find much more information than that. I think what you're going to find is some with the viewpoint that I've shared, some with the viewpoint that they're, you know, again, male and female. Some will just say they don't know. I think the bottom line is we really don't know. And yes, it's possible there's male and female. So I appreciate your input on that and letting me clarify.
All right, Pastor Mark, our last question comes from Jeremy, enjoying Signs of the Times in Maryville, regarding kids before the fall. He says, I have a question about whether Adam and Eve had children before the fall. The Bible mentions Cain and Abel, but after Cain killed Abel, he married and had many children. Since only Cain and Abel are mentioned, where did the other people come from for Cain to marry and have children? The first command God gave Adam and Eve was to be fruitful and multiply, which was before the fall, right? Did they have children before sin entered the world? If so, were those children also sinless and capable of having children of their own before the fall? Did Adam and Eve and their descendants begin aging only after eating the forbidden fruit, since they were initially immortal and death entered the world through sin? Also, the Bible says Eve's pain in childbirth would increase, implying there may have already been some pain associated with childbirth. Could that suggest they were having children before the fall?
Yeah. They didn't have no. The children came after the fall. It would appear from Scripture, Jeremy, when you look at that, because they fell, and then it says after that that God gave them a child, and it was almost as if they looked at it like, hey, God's restoring things, you know, as far as that goes. But as far as the number of how all the children came from, this is where a lot of people stumble. You got to remember, before sin grew and magnified, God didn't forbid families marrying within their family. Now, to us, that sounds gross today, and it kind of sounds like, ooh, you know what? That's like, you know, what is this? It's incest. We, you know, God called it incest and forbid it later, and we called it incest and all that. But remember, when God made mankind, everything was pure. And right after the fall, it was still pure. It took a long time for sin to taint the bloodline down the line. And what happened was, eventually, God, knowing the bloodline would be so tainted, and man's viewpoint so tainted, that there start being deformities and all that, that God forbid it. And I think that God even kind of built in kind of a gross factor, like, ooh, yuck. I think kind of almost like when the Bible doesn't tell us, so I can't say that for sure, but it's almost like, you know, Tower of Babylon, you know, he made them all speak different languages to divide them up. Now, of course, incest is horrible in God's eyes and man's eyes. But remember, with Adam and Eve and God creating everything pure, it wasn't something that was horrible. It's hard for us to have that in our mind. But Adam and Eve lived a very long time. Again, the Bible tells us that that Eve lived to be 900 years old. Adam lived to be 930. So the amount of time they would have had to have children would be enormous. And when you do the math on how many children they could have had in just a moderate amount, you could have millions of people in a very short amount of time on the earth. So they could easily populate the earth with large numbers of people as the family expanded. But yes, it would mean that family would be marrying family initially and then going out from there. And then as it got farther and farther and farther from initial family, I mean, you'd be so far apart. If you get to a million people, you wouldn't even know the relation back to Adam and Eve. So it wouldn't be like the family thing. And remember, at that time, it wasn't forbidden by God. That happened with the law, and that happened where, again, God said, you can't have your brother or your sister and these kind of things as far as actual family. So You got to remember, there was a long time they had, living hundreds of years, they have lots of children. And the multiplication, when you do it, could have happened very rapidly. And it wasn't something forbidden by God, nor tainted yet enough in the bloodline to be a problem. And that's how God populated the earth. Obviously, today, it is wrong, and God has forbidden it.
All right. Pastor Mark, thank you so much. And folks, thanks for your questions. And if those questions stirred up a question in your heart, well, then you know what to do. Go to thewaymedia.net, find Signs of the Times, and you'll see where you can send Pastor Mark your prophecy question. All right, we're going to get into some One World Government news, and our first one comes from Fox News, dated June 14th. Germany says it will become Europe's military backbone as NATO faces a Russian threat. Well, it's good that somebody has a backbone over there, right?
It is good, but it's also, to me, very interesting that it's Germany, because I think of Daniel chapter 10. Where the regional demons are affecting certain regions. And we remember what the regional demon of Germany was able to do back in World War II, when they built the strongest military in the world besides America.
Yeah.
And they were taking the world over. And had God not used America to stop them, you'd all be speaking German. By the way, we asked the question earlier, what would the world be like without America?
There you go.
You'd be driving a Yavolt. Your electric car.
A Chevy Yavolt. Yes.
So anyway, I find it, yes, again, here's the thing. I think that Europe has to build their own military because it's going to be distanced from America. We know that the Antichrist is going to lead this military at some point, and I find it interesting that Germany, which again, I believe we do see the regional demons in Daniel chapter 10, giving them the power, I believe, as God allowed it back in World War II.
It might just be
a revived demonic spirit that God's allowing to stir them. And right now it doesn't seem threatening, but as they build that military back up and more turned against the Jews, which is growing again in Germany, this could get interesting. But Germany is pledging to become a more powerful military force inside NATO, with Berlin's ambassador to Washington telling Fox News that the country is ready to assume greater responsibility for European security after decades in which the United States carried much of the alliance's military burden. Now, part of this sounds good. Oh, good. They're going to help us. But also, there's kind of this rift going on between Germany and the president right now. They're not getting along. Germany's stepping up. We heard the call, the ambassador of the United States said. Chancellor Friedrich Merz has said Germany's armed forces should become the strongest conventional army in Europe. A goal, Hainfeld said, is now backed by Berlin's new military strategy. And I quote, today's Germany is Ukraine's largest supporter. And he goes on, he says, the effort is unfolding as a backdrop of friction between President Trump and Merz, a dispute that a U.S. defense expert warned would complicate critical decisions on deterring Russia. The dispute quickly spilled into NATO politics. Trump later threatened to review possible U.S. reductions in Germany and said Merz should spend more time ending the war in Ukraine and fixing his broken country than condemning Iran. So the tit for tat, Germany developing a large, impressive defense industrial base is good for NATO, they said. It's good for Western security, and it's good for our primes, one arguing that for Germany. Not Poland, should be leading the way here, is most likely to become the beating heart of America's future defense industrial base. So, again, there's a little bit of a rift going on with President Trump and Germany, and Germany's saying, okay, we're going to take you're saying build up our military, we're going to build up our military. This could be good, and it could be bad. I think in the long run, it's going to be bad. Not that they're going to be the center of attacks against Jews again, but again, we do know there's a lot of demonic activity going on in that region, and this could be a long-term interesting thing to watch.
All right, our next article comes from jpost.com, dated June 21st, so this might not even really be relevant at this point, but four-way talks on U.S.-Iran peace begin in Switzerland. Urgent session on Hezbollah added to the agenda.
Yes, another letter from Jay. And so Jay's been faithful to send these.
Yes.
Jay Post?
Yes.
Yeah, he's been sending a lot of these. And so anyway, sorry, just a little silliness today. I guess, you know, it might be because Andromeda has been with me, you know. And so I just, anyway, the first session of peace talks between the U.S. and Iran and Switzerland has concluded. Mediators, Qatar and Pakistan announced in a joint statement early on Monday morning. The talks were conducted in a positive and constructive atmosphere, the country said, despite reports of the Iranian delegation walking out on Sunday night in protest of President Trump's threats to resume strikes unless the Strait of Hormuz is reopened. Additionally, both Iran and the U.S. have agreed to establish a high-level committee for political oversight during the future talks, said a joint statement. So I just wanted this in there to say, look, we know this has happened. This is old news. Because already they had the peace talks, they did that. They've now, signed the MOU, and so trying to go forward. But already, just since this, now Iran is already striking vessels in the Strait of Hormuz. So this is also tenuous, and is any of it going to hold? We don't know. And I know this: Persia, which is Iran, it's ancient Persia. Persia in scripture, it's not going to be destroyed. They may be neutralized in much of their power. But Persia slash Iran is not going to be destroyed, because Persia, modern day Iran, is going to be leading with Russia this attack against Israel. So is America going to fade out? Is it our president? They're going to wait him out? We don't know yet, but they're going to be very much in place, and they're going to still be moving on Israel. The word of God is clear on that.
All right. Let's go to our next one. As we look into some growing anti-Semitism, we come to IsraelNationalNews.com for an article dated June 18th that tells us that anti-Semitism has hit a record high since tracking began in Germany, speaking of which.
Isn't that interesting?
With 8,725 incidents just in 2025.
Now think about that. Again, in 2022, there were 2,480. So look at that, from 2022 till now, from 2,400 incidents to 8,700 incidents. These have to do with violence, attacks, all kinds of things. Look,
that's almost 24 incidents per day.
Something is happening in Germany.
One hour.
Now, I know it's happening worldwide. I recognize that. But Germany, once again, Greg, in a strange, fearful way, seems to be rising up in the background with a little bit extra oomph against Israel. So I think it has to go back to Daniel 10 and the regional demon. God has restrained that demon. It might be that God's allowing now some movement again. But keep your eye on that, because I find that very, very intriguing, very interesting in many different ways. But again, here's the prayer that God would use and God is doing it. God is using the pressure on Israel to drive them back to the nation of Israel. He's using that pressure to drive them back. So God said, I'm going to bring them back in the last days. Some are going to willingly come back. Some are going to come back rather quickly. Some are going to have to be driven back. And I think that's what's happening right now. So keep your eye on Germany, but as a whole, keep your eye on the aggression against Jews worldwide as Satan turns up the heat and God uses it for his good to get them back in the land to finish his 7-year promise to the nation of Israel from Daniel chapter 9.
All right, our next article comes from the Gateway Pundit. This is from June 21st. Leftist Hassan Piker says Israel, quote unquote, does not have a right to exist, and compares the Jewish state to, quote unquote, Nazi Germany. It's the usual rhetoric.
Once again, he's stepping in the place that only God can tread. God is the one that has chosen Israel. God is the one that has preserved Israel. God is the one that has given them the right to exist and made them exist. So again, these people are in areas that they're not saved. So there's a little more grace. But you start treading in areas where only God is to tread, that's a dangerous place to be. Leftist political commentator again shared his views on Israel during Tuesday appearance on The Breakfast Club. Piker was asked by host Charlemagne the God, which is a very humble name, about people who argue Israel does not have a right to exist. I hear people that are anti-Israel, they'll say Israel doesn't have a right to exist, Charlemagne said. Piker dove right in. I think Israel in its current formation, given its settler colonial operation, that's their code words here.
Settler, yes.
Yeah, that seeking out the expulsion or complete extermination of the indigenous population. That's nonsense. I'll come back to that.
Yeah, I know.
As an apartheid state, that's crazy too. We already talked about that. Does not have the right to exist. This guy is so ignorant. He has no idea what he's talking about.
He needs to listen to the first part of the show.
But get this. Again, it's the Ahab Elijah thing. It's like saying, does Nazi Germany have a right to exist? Israel, he's comparing Israel to Nazi Germany. They're getting so radical that they're trying to make some comparison there to this solid evil to the nation of Israel. It is shocking.
They're just throwing spaghetti on the wall past Mark to see what sticks. They really don't even know what they're saying. They don't.
And I want to say this. It is hard to eat spaghetti off of a wall. Have you ever tried that? I have. It is not easy. It makes a mess everywhere. Do not try that. But getting back to our point here.
Yes.
He says they're trying to exterminate the indigenous population. Let me talk about real briefly. I know we're running out of time. We may not finish everything, but this is too important.
Okay.
Palestine has never existed. There is no state of Palestine. There has never been a state of Palestine in world history. So many people are ignorant about it. People think that Palestine has actually existed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was the land of Israel was renamed Palestine by Emperor Hadrian in 135 AD because he hated the Jews. But he didn't give it any rights. He didn't make a currency. He didn't proclaim it as a real nation or people group. He just renamed the land because he hated the Jews. It means Philistine. Palestine means Philistine. And what he said was, you go back and look at the history. He said, I hate the Jews so much, I'm going to name it after one of your worst enemies, the Philistines. So your land is called Philistine now, just because I hate you. But again, he gave them no rights. They had no constitution. They had no leadership. They had no money. They had nothing. There's never been a Palestinian state or nation ever in world history. Now, they appoint these guys they call Palestinian leaders now because they want there to be one day. And they say they're the leader of the people of that region. I get that. But here's the bottom line. Because the whole land was called Palestine, up until 1947, everybody that lived there was called a Palestinian. Even the Jews were known as Palestinians in 1947. Okay, and as a matter of fact, the Jewish newspaper was called like the Palestinian Times or something. That was the Jewish paper. Okay, so what's my point? In 1948, when God reestablished them as a nation, Israel decided, hey, we're not going to call ourselves Palestine. We're going to call ourselves Israel because we're now a nation again reborn by God. So now you have Israel and the other indigenous peoples, which Israel's a part of. That is everybody that lived there. They're all Palestinians, but Israel's called Israel because God made them a nation again. But there's never been a Palestinian state or people other than in name because they grew up in that land. And so now they're trying to bring these two together and say they're taking the indigenous Palestinian people. That was the Jews.
So, Pastor Mark, what happened as the atrocities of World War II, God used that to drive the Jews back into the land? Yes. We know prophecy was fulfilled through the atrocities of World War II, but at the time, and you make this valid point, at the time, they're coming into a land that is not the rebirthed nation of Israel.
Correct.
They're coming into a land that's occupied by other people, and they adopt the name or are referred to with the same name of the people that were already living there,
right?
Palestinian. I'm just curious, what do you know from history how the people that were already living there were responding to the Jews basically coming in as refugees?
Okay, let me give you a fuller picture. Jews were living there prior to that.
Okay.
It wasn't that it was just non-Jews.
The non-Jews.
No, the indigenous peoples were a bunch of Jews.
Gotcha.
And a bunch of non-Jews.
Okay.
And they all lived there in that land.
Okay.
So they were living together. That was the indigenous people, Jews and non-Jews. World War II broke out. More Jews were pushed back to a place where they said, we've got to get out of here. And when the war was won, the UN said, you can now proclaim yourself a nation to protect your people because all the world was trying to kill you, or Germany was trying to kill you.
Right, right, right.
So the people that were already there, just to claim themselves, they were already there. They were indigenous people. They said, okay, we're no longer going to call ourselves Palestinians with the rest of all you guys. We're now going to separate ourselves and call ourselves Israel. Then all the Jews started moving back there so they'd have a safe place to live because they were trying to kill them in Germany. And now the nation of Israel has been growing since then.
Okay.
So it wasn't like no Jews were there and suddenly the Jews moved in and took over. No, 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 no. It was a mixture of Jews and Arabs and people from all over the world that were living there. And then suddenly they became a nation and they just in name separated themselves out for those that weren't Jews and said, we're the nation of Israel and we're still living among everyone here that lives in what used to be called Palestine. But we're now going to reclaim the land as Israel because that's the God-given name. And then all the Jews began moving back there, which now it's grown to well over 10 million people now living there in the land of Israel.
Okay. Well, we don't have enough time to get to the rest of our articles unless you want to try to squeeze in the last one, because we're almost out of time.
Are we out of time? Should we do a good news story instead?
Do you want to do a good news story? Sure.
Oh, yeah, let me say one thing. Hey, listen, yeah. Our producer just sent me a quick note. Both Arabs and Israelis were offered a state, which is true. I want to bring that point up. It's a very good point. The Arabs refused to let Israel exist, so they attacked them. Israel won, and they're the only ones who got to actually be established. So the UN gave them a right to establish two states. Right. But they rejected it. Same. And so, again,
and that was prior to the 1948 declaration.
Yes. Okay. Well, that was they gave them the right and they refused it. Israel said at that point, at 48, they both could have accepted it. Israel said, we'll accept ours. We're going to be a nation. They could have, too. But rather than them accepting it, they said, no, we don't want you to be a nation. So we're going to turn our attention toward fighting you. And so they lost their opportunity to become a nation. And it was their own choice. So it wasn't like Israel forced anything and didn't allow them to do it. The world gave all of them an opportunity. Only Israel capitalized on it.
And it was at the behest, it was at the hands of the UN that they were able to do that. Could you imagine the UN doing that today?
Yeah, no, no. The UN, look, the UN today would do nothing as far as that kind of thing goes, as far as the nation of Israel and all that goes with them. But again, let me, you know, again, let me just take this. We don't really have time. Let me just take this last one. We'll talk about Israel, then we'll finish up. The guys, look, here's the bottom line, and I want to restate this. Those of you that have been listening to Signs of the Times, any length of time, you know this. Look, we don't stand with Israel because they're righteous. They're an unsaved nation. They're an unsaved people. Americans do evil things, and Jews do evil things. U.S. citizens do evil things, and Israeli citizens do evil things. Mankind is mankind. The reason we stand with Israel is that God said, I'm going to keep my promise to Abraham, and as long as the sun and the moon shine, I'm not going to break my word. So we still see the sun and moon shining, because he's only told us that we see a lot of moonshine in the south, but the sun and moon shining, sorry. Again, the Bible says that in Jeremiah. The sun and the moon are still shining, and that means God has kept his promise to the nation. God said, I'm going to bring them back in the last days. I'm going to take this unsaved, unrighteous people, pour out my spirit on them and revive them and bring them back to life. They'll come to believe in their Messiah. And I'm going to finish 7 years of a promise, of a prophetic promise that I made back in Daniel chapter 9 after the rapture of the church. So because God has a future promise for the nation, because they're future brothers and sisters, and because God says stand with them because I'm standing with them, that's why we stand with them. Not because they're not doing anything wrong, because of the future promises of God. And God says, those who bless them, I will bless, and those who curse them, I will curse. We need to be a cursed, we need to be a blessed people, not a cursed people, and stand with God's people, the nation of Israel.
Amen. Pastor Mark, thank you so much as always. And folks, thanks for tuning in. And for those of you that didn't get to see Andromeda and you're listening to the audio-only podcast,
yes, here he is.
You have to go watch our video version of this show to see Andromeda.
Goodbye. It's so wonderful to be with all of you.
And I don't know if he'll be back, but we'll be back next Friday at 1:30 for more Signs of the Times right here on WIAM.